Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Welspun India Q1 FY22 conference call hosted by Edelweiss Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nihal Jham from Edelweiss Securities. Thank you, and over to you.
Yes, thank you, Stanford. On behalf of Edelweiss, I would like to welcome you all to the Q1 FY22 result call for Welspun India. From the management today, we have Mr. Rajesh Mandavewala, Managing Director, Ms. Dipali Goenka, CEO and Joint MD, Mr. Sanjay Gupta, CFO, and Mr. Akhil Jindal, Group CFO and Head Strategy. I would now like to hand over the call to Ms. Dipali Goenka for her opening remarks. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Nihal. A very warm welcome to all of you to the Welspun India Quarter One FY22 earnings conference call. I hope that you, your family, and colleagues are well and safe and are taking the necessary precautions. I'd like to take a moment and appreciate the efforts of our employees who continue to be our anchors and serve our customers in these unprecedented times. The company continues to conduct on-site vaccination drives across its plant locations, and to date, 20,223 people have been vaccinated across our manufacturing locations in Anjar, Vapi, and Hyderabad. We remain committed to our plan of administering at least first dose of vaccine to 100% of the workforce, latest by 15th August 2021. Global economic activities appear to have returned sequentially in the preceding quarters owing to government policy assistance and the relaxation of lockdowns in all major global economies, following the recovery trend of prior quarters. This is indeed an encouraging sign. Let me discuss the key highlights, and later Sanjay will cover the key financial highlights. We started the year on a positive note by achieving the highest quarterly revenues, growing at 83% year-on-year and 2.5% quarter-on-quarter. The EBITDA grew by 93% year-on-year and 28.4% quarter-on-quarter on the back of strong business growth. The Government of India's recent announcement of the extension of RSPCL till 31st March 2024 will prove to be a level playing field for Indian textile manufacturers and exporters while enabling them to capitalize on the recent shift in the global retail sourcing strategies. Our export sales grew by 53% year-on-year as we continued to witness an increasing demand for home textiles. This demand is driven by the rise of homebody economy and change in consumer behavior as it lays more focus on hygiene and wellness products. Coupled with this, various factors like bounce back in the hospitality sector due to increased spending on travel and holidays in Euro and U.S. regions, strong global retailers' financial performance, and the plans to continue to adopt China Plus One strategy for supply chain management would continue to drive the demand in FY22. Our home textile plants, situated at Vapi and Anjar, operated at near peak capacities. The capital-light expansion at both the plants is on track, and during the quarter, one such expansion of the TT capacity by 7% to reach 85,400 metric tons per annum has been completed. The benefits from this investment will start accruing in phases from quarter two FY22. The capacity expansion plans for bed linen and rugs are currently underway. We should realize the benefits of the enhancement of 20% in bed linen and 80% in rugs latest by quarter three and quarter four, respectively. On the back of expanded capacity, we are confident of significant top-line growth over the next few years. In the last quarter, we had mentioned about aligning all our business strategies to the aspects of environment, social, and governance principles. We continue to further our efforts here. I'm proud to share that Welspun Flooring Limited has become the first company to achieve certification under the SCS New Zero Pay Standard. This first fully integrated LEED certified facility has achieved 98% diversion of waste from landfill through a combination of recycling, waste reclamation, co-processing, composting and storage. Our farm-to-shelf 360-degree capabilities have always resonated with our customers, and we are glad to share that more than 16,000 farmers have already benefited through our Velkrishi program in the past quarter. We are availing complete farm management solutions today and developing agronomic know-how through our innovative products based on digital technologies and artificial intelligence, all developed in collaboration with appropriate government and technology partners. 5% of our current supplies are coming through this initiative, and we aim to take it to 30% by FY25. Additionally, in the backdrop of prevailing sindri and cotton issues, we are witnessing a shift in our customer expectations in the terms of fully integrated operations and complete transparency. In the forthcoming quarter, we'll be revisiting our investment strategies to pursue our growth targets. Welspun continues to introduce innovative customer-centric products, and nanocore technology is a result of these efforts. Our hydrocotton portfolio continues to set milestones. The recent program promotion by Scott Brothers on QVC was hugely successful, where we saw a record 5.5 million sales, that is 94% sell-through in 72 hours. Closer Home, a domestic business, has entered into an exclusive tie-up with an international technology partner to launch anti-pollution home textile range, the carbon capture product technology. Our innovation product sales during the quarter were 553 crores, registering a growth of 64% year-on-year and contributing 29% to the sales. We expect the textile demand to grow further in H2 FY22 as pent-up demand comes with the opening of retail offices, education institutions, and resumption of social activities. Additionally, e-commerce is no longer an alternative buying channel but has become a default, a primary buying channel for many. In US, the significance of the online channel continues to increase as it currently accounts for 13.6% of total retail sales. Our e-commerce business also witnessed similar trends and heightened demand with growth of 45% year-on-year, contributing 5% to the sales. The e-commerce channel is on track to meet its 100 million target by 2023. Our continued focus on brands, both owned and licensed, has enabled us to deepen our connection with consumers across markets and aspirational categories. Martha Stewart is on track to clock 25 million in sales this fiscal year at an estimated 79% year-on-year growth. Our iconic brand Christy drew over 500,000 eyeballs, and our towels and Wimbledon were a huge success. We are confident that the strategically curated brand portfolio will deliver 100 million revenue by 24. As the supply ends, logistic challenges were at the forefront globally, with non-availability of containers, delays by shipping lines, congestion at ports, and non-availability of truckers in the United States. The trend is expected to continue in the next quarter. Additionally, input cost pressures continue to hit with increase in almost all the raw materials, including cotton, yarn, dyes, and chemicals. Increased demand for Indian yarn and internationally higher MSP, internally higher MSP, the result in cotton prices remaining firm to new harvest season, thereby putting pressure on margins. Emerging businesses, retail. I'm pleased to share that Manjari Upadhyay has returned back to Welspun India, and she will be spearheading the domestic operations of Welspun Flooring and Home Linen brand Spaces and Welspun domestically. She brings in with her 2 decades of experience of extensive work in FMCG, e-commerce business, and I'm excited about a plan for the domestic business in the coming years. As we entered FY22 with renewed vigor, the recent second wave and surge in COVID in India hurt the numbers of India retail business due to the localized lockdowns, which had an impact on demand in Q1. Despite that, the domestic retail business recorded revenue of rupees 48 crores in Q1, growing 222% year-on-year. Additionally, with an aim to be Har Ghar Wealth Fund, we increased our nationwide print to 4,288 outlets and 80 towns with brand Wealth Fund in Q1. With a massive vaccination drive underway, we are confident of better quarters in terms of retail demand compared to Q1. A domestic home textile e-commerce business, which includes brand spaces and Wealth Fund, doubled on year-on-year basis. Advanced textile business revenue during the quarter stood at rupees 62.5 crores, registering growth of 7.2% year-on-year. Spunlace business is witnessing major correction in demand due to material overstocking in the supply chain, and we expect the situation to ease over the next couple of quarters. Wet Wipes business saw addition to its innovative product offering by contracting cosmetic sheet mask business by large multinational brands. The industrial filtration application served by the needle punch business continued as per plan, with some domestic softening in demand due to the partial lockdown in Q1. The products in the business development funnel continue to be healthy and promising in both domestic and overseas markets. Spunlace capacity at Telangana is underway and is expected to start commercial production by Q4 FY22. Flooring business. Overall, the flooring business stood at 121 crores in Q1 FY22, growing by 379% year-on-year, contributing 5.4% to the top line. We are seeing significant improvement in utilization levels, primarily on account of easing lockdowns in multiple geographies. While Q1 saw muted growth due to COVID-related manufacturing challenges, we are confident of a very strong Q2 backed by repeat orders from large clients across the US and Middle East regions with higher ticket size, indicating customer satisfaction and trust in our products. The global reception of products and order flows from marquee brands give us confidence that this business will be major growth driver once the project execution concludes and full capacity comes abroad. The domestic flooring business, while strong at 108% year-on-year growth, was a complete washout on account of lockdowns and customer across the country deferring home improvements. With second wave receding, we are already seeing strong green shoots in the domestic market, and festive period in the country will provide on the export momentum. With the product gaining traction, the market will be excited about the forthcoming quarters and is confident that we will achieve EBITDA break-even by the end of the financial year. Now, I would like to hand over the call to Sanjay to provide updates on financial numbers. Thank you.
Thank you, Dipali. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Many thanks for joining the Q1 Financial Year 22 India Earnings Con Call. I'll give a brief overview of the financial numbers for the quarter before we open for question and answers. I hope everyone must have got a chance to look at the earnings presentation and press release by now. As has been the practice for the last two quarters, we continue to provide greater details and granular statistics which will help you track company's progress with clear lens. I'm delighted to share that during Q1, the total income grew by 83% year-on-year and 2.5% quarter-on-quarter, and it stood at our quarterly best at rupees 2,227 crores. Domestic business had limited contribution to this growth owing to the second wave peak in Q1, but we have already begun seeing progressive growth with the improvement in pandemic situation. We earned an EBITDA of rupees 459.8 crores in Q1, growing 93% year-on-year and 28.4% quarter-on-quarter, and the EBITDA margin was 20.6%. As already mentioned, Government of India announced extension of ROSCTL till 31st March 24. Based on this, in Q1 Financial Year 22, we have booked the income of rupees 198 crore, rupees 105 crore pertains to Q4 of Financial Year 21 exports. There was an overall positive impact of 6.4% on Q1 EBITDA on account of the revised ROSCTL rates. As mentioned by Dipali, we face severe challenges in the logistics, both in terms of the availability of containers and liners and higher freight cost of shipping lines, which were almost 2.5 to 3 times year on year. Coupled with that, port congestion and non-availability of truckers in U.S. resulted in the stocks getting stuck at port, resulting into higher inventory and demurrage charges. This had an impact on revenue and EBITDA of the current quarter. These one-time costs of higher freight, demurrage, and inventory carrying costs had an unfavorable EBITDA impact of 2.2%. Going forward, we don't see the situation easing. Had one-time costs not hit us, EBITDA would have still been higher. Quarter one profit after tax, after minority interest, stood at Rs. 218 crore, up 343% year-on-year and 84% quarter-on-quarter. On the forex front, we have been consistently following the board-approved policy to sell 60% to 65% of our receivables on rolling 12-month basis. The impact of current spot will reflect in our revenue with a lag effect, that is from end of this financial year. We continue to hedge 65% of our future receivables currently. Our average exchange realization for this quarter was Rs. 75.77 versus Rs. 72.66 in the corresponding quarter last year. Net debt of the company stood at 2,249 crores, a reduction of Rs. 404 crore over June 2020, and a reduction of Rs. 84 crore over March 21. Our net debt to equity has come down to 0.58 times as on 30th June 22. Our ROCE is 16.4% in quarter one of financial year 22, and there is continuous improvement in ROCE in spite of adding capacities in various businesses, which will yield significant cash flows in future. The business generated free cash flow of 83.2 crore during the quarter one financial year 22. Coming to segmental results, quarter one financial year 22, home textile revenue stood at Rs. 2,128 crore versus Rs. 1,185 during the same period last year, growing by 80% year on year and 4% quarter on quarter. Quarter one EBITDA margin of home textiles stood at 22.6% versus 18% in quarter four of financial year 21. During the quarter, advanced textile business clocked a revenue of Rs. 62.5 crore, up 7.2% year on year. Demand has muted to some extent in advanced textile, which is expected to continue in quarter two. During the quarter, revenue from flooring business was 121 crores, up 379% year-on-year and 2% quarter-on-quarter. EBITDA loss during the quarter is Rs. 26 crores versus loss of Rs. 27 crores in the same period last year and 19 crores in quarter 4 of financial year 21. The EBITDA loss included significant increases in input raw material cost and higher freight cost. With margins being under pressure, we have already sought price increases with majority of customers, and the same will reflect with a lag of 3 to 4 months. We are enthused with the growth momentum in the emerging business, and it reaffirms the confidence in our strategy. Emerging growth businesses, which includes branded business, e-com business, flooring and advanced textile, cumulatively grew by 128% year-on-year and contributed 21% to the top line during the quarter versus 15% contribution in financial year 21. The expansion projects of flooring, advanced textiles, and home textile businesses are in different stages of progress, and they will get completed by end of financial year 22. CAPEX spend in financial year 22 to complete these projects is expected to be around 600 crores, out of which 172 crores is already spent in quarter one. In spite of the CAPEX and higher outflow due to buyback and dividend, the company will continue to prepay the high-cost debt as evidenced over the last two financial years. Over the last two quarters, input costs have been increasing significantly. This, coupled with uncertainty on logistics, have put further pressure on revenue and margins. With ROSCTL reinstated at the existing rate till 31st March 24, and with our continued focus towards cost optimization and improved efficiency, aided further by accelerated economic revival across geographies and robust outlook, I'm confident that we should be able to achieve annual EBITDA margin between 20% to 21% in financial year 22. However, quarterly margins may vary depending on the cost pressures and corresponding price revisions. With regard to the buyback, we have extinguished the 1.67 crore shares in July 21 as per the required regulatory compliance. We continue to remain focused on our strategic priorities and growth pillars. We continue to lay emphasis on our long-term goal of sustainable growth and profitability and deleveraging our balance sheet. With this, I will leave the floor open for question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star, then one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star, then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star, then one. The first question is from the line of Ashutosh Somani from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. So I'm just trying to understand the results better. So if you look at the margins adjusted for the 198 crore duty benefit, so the two parts of it, one is the part pertaining to Jan to March quarter, which was around 105 odd crores. So that is an extraordinary. And the 98 crore, if I leave that aside and compare the two results sequentially, then there is a drop in margins at the EBITDA level. So just wanted to understand, so we are talking about bridging the gap between, let's say, 13 to 14% EBITDA margin to fiscal 22 guidance of 20-21%. So what will contribute to this, how will we bridge this gap? One, you said that the one-time cost that we faced in this quarter is not showing any signs of easing, if I heard you correctly. So can you bridge this gap? How will we move from the current 13-14% to 21%? And this is including the duty, right? So how will we bridge that gap? Thanks.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Sanjay here. So as I mentioned earlier, so the impact of ROSCTL on the EBITDA as a percentage comes to 6.4% on the quarter one results. So without ROSCTL, our margins stand at 14.2%. If you add 2.2% of one-time costs that we had to incur in this quarter, we are at about 16.5%. Going forward, every quarter, the ROSCTL will have a 4% addition on our EBITDA. So, hence we are guiding towards a 20 to 21% EBITDA for the year.
Just a clarification, the 2% that you are classifying as one time, so yes. we are seeing some signs of easing there going forward.
Let me take this, Sanjay. So,
yes.
Rajesh Asutosh. So,
yeah.
So there has been a relentless cost increase pressure on the margins of the company. So, and all of you know that it takes us a quarter or two to pass on these cost increases to the clients. So we are actively engaged with our clients, and the gap that you see will hopefully get bridged with the price increases that we will get from the customers. So that's where the confidence is coming from. Some of them have been put to bed, the others are under negotiation, and and there is and the improvement will start trickling a little by little this from the second quarter itself.
Sure. And sir, the second part of the clarification was see 4% improvement going forward in ROCTL. So that part, Sanjay sir, if you could clarify, I thought that we you know sort of realized the entire benefit in terms of percentage in the two quarters, Jan to March and to April to June. So how will the percentage increase going forward in second quarter? From an EBITDA margin perspective,
Yeah, so overall, the products that on the products on which we get ROSCTL, if we take that and the different rates that we get, the net impact on EBITDA is 4%. For quarter one, the impact was overall 6.4% because it has it included last quarter as well, and there were some accounting impacts. Going forward, it will remain at 4%. When we had guided towards 17 to 18% EBITDA last quarter, we had taken 2% ROTEP in our guidance, and this is now working out to 4%. But with 4%, we are guiding towards 20 to 21%, which is still higher.
Sure, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Thanks.
Yes.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Chera from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations to the team for the excellent results. So first question is on if you can break up the sales.
Excuse me, this is the
office. And India.
Mr. Chera, we had lost you for that 5 seconds. May we request to repeat your question?
Yeah. Yeah, so my question was if you can break up the sales in the quarter geography-wise, US, Europe, India, and the rest of the world.
Hi, Sanjay here. So we don't report our sales geography-wise. We have two segments, which is textile and flooring. Textile, we had a turnover of 2,128 crore. And flooring, we had 121.
So if you can give rough percentage, that would be fine. Because my follow-up question was, there are a lot of talks on, obviously, the China losing market share all across US, we have seen. Mm-hmm. But Europe also, we think they are losing data. And there are some developments of some sanctions on Pakistan sales. So the markets were opening up. So what's your outlook on European market, current presence of Welspun in Europe, and what is Welspun doing to increase its presence in Europe also?
So I'll take this question, Sanjay. Yeah. So we actually are in Europe. We hold a very strong position in towels. But if anything, any changes that happen, which we are not that aware of right now, it becomes a fair level playing field for the Indian players who are exporting to EU. So for sure, definitely there will be an upsurge there, and for Welspun as well. But our contribution continues to grow. For example, this quarter we have grown around 22% in Europe itself.
So you are seeing already a sales growth traction, because I'm sure market has not grown 22% in Europe. So in some way we are able to increase some market share in European market also.
Because it's a mixed product category that we talk about. We have towels, we have sheets, and we also have rugs.
Let me just elaborate that, Bhavin. So yes, you are absolutely right. So the China plus one factor is clearly playing out, and it is playing out not only in America. It is so in Europe as well. So it's a clear thing now. We have been witnessing this for now this 2 or 3 quarters, and you know things that happened in Xinjiang, where you know the retailers are now this absolutely uncomfortable sourcing product, where cotton or raw materials are grown in that region. And you know how the young consumers are now. So they are unforgiving. So the retailers are in fact pushing us to set up a traceability system from farm to, let's say, this retail shelf. So good, we invested in our Welltrack system, and so that will hold us in good stead. So it is clearly playing out, and this we believe it will continue to play out. Now your question on the tariffs with some of the competing countries, this in the EU, yes, we start with a disadvantage today. So this, the average rate of duty is 9-10% on our products in Europe. But to the best of my knowledge, those preferences as of today at least continue, and there is nothing. So while there have been press reports, but they seem to be unconfirmed, and so there's nothing official that has come out in that regard.
Yeah. My other question was on the target. I think
Hello. Maybe requested to come back in the queue for a follow up, please.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prerna Jhunjhunwala from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and congratulations, sir, on a good set of results. So I just wanted to understand, taking forward the previous participant's question, I had the same query. Could you just help us understand how is the U.S. market growing in terms of consumption? And do we see the consumption rate, growth rate, improving than pre-COVID levels in terms of growth? That is from U.S. And a related question to this would be, now that India has a very strong market share in the bedsheet and towel markets in U.S. market, do we see improving bargaining power to pass on the cost increase to customers? And how far we can go in attaining better market share in the U.S. market?
Yeah. I'll take this question. This year, I think this quarter, our sales have grown by 53% year-on-year. And U.S. being, an integral part of it, definitely the demand continues to grow strong, Prerna, here, with the home body economy and the consumer behavior focus on health and hygiene. And also, actually, the bounce back in the hospitality sector. That has increased because, the travel and the holiday spends have definitely had an upsurge. So, and of course, the global retailers' financial performances have been very strong, and their plans to continue to adopt the China Plus One strategy has definitely also played a very important part. Your question on the cost pass, we have taken that up, and as RRM has pointed out, and it comes in at a lag of around 3 to 4 months. So definitely, that is something that we have seen growing. Okay. Anything else?
One question was on how far in terms of market share gain do you believe that India as a country can actually reach now that we are 61% market share in bedsheet and 46% market share in the towels business?
So I think I would just say, Prerna, I can't give you a number here, but definitely China's share is dropping from 2020. And we see that India is here to gain because of a strong integrated supply chain that we have. Apart from that, of course, the cotton, we are a cotton producing country as well, and the largest exporter of cotton as well, and yarn too. So I think that actually holds us strong. And the mention on Xinjiang cotton has been, as it holds, very, very true, Prerna. So definitely these factors are going to play, and India seems to be in a very good position.
Let me just add to that, Prerna. So there is a 1-3% market share gain for India over this in the current year. So product by product, but it is between 1-3%. Already there is a market share gain, and Sanjay will be happy to share the details offline with you.
Sure, sir. So my second question was on the margin guidance. As a company, have you increased the margin guidance for 21-22%, or it is for home textiles business only?
It's for home textiles. It's for home textiles, Brenda.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for answering the question. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alpesh Thakkar from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking up my question and congratulations for a very good set of number. One from, you know, Xinjiang cotton issue. So definitely this is like in the news that the US is definitely taking up this very seriously. But a few days back, I was reading that even Japan was, getting serious about this issue. So just wanted to understand, so are we getting any sort of business inquiries from rest of the world or Japan? Because I understand that China is a major exporter of cotton made up through the Japan. So any thoughts on that would be useful.
I'll just say that the Xinjiang cotton has been playing on the retailer's mind, whether it is US or whether it is US has taken an action on it, but globally also it has been playing on everyone's mind. So everybody is looking at it and looking at a plan B for sure. So definitely, whether it's Japan or whether it's, Europe or ROW, it's playing on everybody's top of the mind for sure.
Sure, fair enough. And second on, that there has been a change in the ministry level and, there's a lot of impetus or the positivity around because of the strong name in the ministry now. So any thoughts on is there any talks regarding the free trade agreements with the EU that we can have going ahead or anything on that would be helpful?
Right now, I think we can't comment on it. We'll wait and watch. But yes, definitely it will be positive for India as a country.
Sure. And last one, if I may, on the flooring business. So what was the capex that was envisaged and what has been spent till now? And what kind of asset turnover can one expect in that business? That's it from my side.
I'll take that question. So we had almost 1,300 crores of capital spend planned. We are almost through with that. So over the next two quarters, another 100 odd crores is still remaining to be capitalized. So which will happen over the next, definitely through the course of this year. So we'll get past the capex. And we are looking at peak utilizations of, let's say, this close to 1.75 to 2 times turn. So, there's anything between 2,200 to 2,500 crores in peak revenue when everything is going full throttle.
Sure. Thanks a lot. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Khushbu Meshri from Quant. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking up my question. So, as I can see from the financials, that the flooring business, the capacity utilization has been increased from 6% last quarter to 30%. So, I want to understand that what is the driving force behind this increase, and what are the plans to increase further utilization? And also, the current contribution to the revenue is only 5%. So, are you planning to increase its contribution to the revenue? And as mentioned, the high material cost in the flooring business, so how long do you expect this to continue?
Good question. I will take that. So yes, you are absolutely right. The utilization levels have been steadily improving. And mind you, they have been improving without our people being able to travel. And ever since we started in the fourth month, we as a country got into lockdown. And so our people have not visited international customers, and despite that, this we have a reasonable, let's say this about 25-30% utilization levels. So obviously, the seasoned customers see us as a long-term player, as a sustainable player, and this we have been giving virtual tours to the customers, and this level of utilization will continue to grow. So this we are seeing good traction on in parts of our business, and in other parts also the traction will build up. So all in all, we feel pretty confident about growing the business. Now at peak, as I said, this could do about 2200 to 2500 crores in revenue, but it might take us a few years to get there. So it's a young business, and there's a learning curve that we have to follow as a company, which we are doing very swiftly, but it's a few years down the road, but we believe that we have a good enough business to do 2,200, 2,500 crores in revenue over the next maybe 3 to 5 years. Coming to your question on increased costs, so yes, the costs have increased. They have moderated a little bit, but so we are not waiting for the cost to moderate. We have almost passed on significant increases of the cost already to the customers. So, you know, all the new business that we are contracting is at higher prices, taking into account the increased cost. So and there's enough throttle in the business. And customers also realize, see, this, the raw materials like PVC, and these are all internationally quoted, dollar-denominated commodities. So, it's an open book. The customers understand the costs are going up. Customers understand rates are going up. So there have been this cooperating in terms of accepting the reasonable price increases. So, and which will manifest itself, hopefully, in the back half of the year, in half two, where we are hoping that, we'll see some improvement in margins along with volume growth as well.
So thank you so much for answering that.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumant Kumar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. So my question regarding the overall the demand, pending demand, what we are sensing, and so how well prepared we are to grab the opportunity in terms of capacity addition. In the next couple of years, if we know you are going to increase the capacity, but the way the demand, and we are sensing the higher demand going to come because of maybe that tomorrow we'll hear the news of again on the GSP, and again suddenly we have a requirement of the capex. So how are we going to do that, and what is the duration of that?
We are looking at a brownfield, as we spoke about, that we were looking at a capital light expansion. And we already have an expansion in PP capacity, which is around 7%. And in the sheets, we'll be enhancing it by 20% and drugs in by 80% by quarter four. So definitely that will take care of the rising demand for the next 1 year or two. But definitely, there will be opportunities, as I spoke about. We spoke about the Xinjiang cotton. And there, the retailers are talking about the whole transparency in the terms of supply chain and complete integrated facilities. So there would be some opportunities there to explore, for sure. And India India will be at the epicenter for demand. So definitely there could be opportunities to explore.
Now talking about the cotton price, we have seen in India the cotton sowing is still lagging, and US also is not trading. So assuming that, what's your view on cotton price?
So right now, we know that yesterday the cotton prices were absolutely at their peak at around 53,000 to 54,000. But this is the fag end of the cotton. The cotton in India starts coming in by October, where there will be higher moisture. And by October end, November is the time where we'll be able to see what cotton prices look like. So let's wait and watch for that and see. And, the cotton crop has been relatively decent, though there were talks about that the cotton crop will be lower. But the West and the South have been pretty okay. So definitely we'll be able to, the cotton supply is pretty decent. And so we'll wait and watch till October end how the cotton prices go.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nausha Chaudhary from Systematics. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Just a few things on flooring business development. So if you share the domestic and export mix in this business, it will be great. Second thing, wanted to understand, in previous quarters, we had mentioned that we were in talk with some of the Canadian or Middle East client for our soft flooring. and it was expected to be a big ticket size client. So what is the development that side? Then I'll ask after these two questions.
Are there?
Hello.
Sorry. I had muted myself. So I'll take this question. So Naushad, in the first quarter for the flooring business, the domestic market was a washout. So, you know, this, we were in single digits in revenues in the first quarter in the domestic market, and understandably slow because, you know, homes where these people wouldn't allow anybody to get into their homes due to the COVID second wave. And, you know, this our product, this unfortunately, we have to get into the homes of the people to install that. But having said that, now the markets have started to open up. So, and we get an instant sense because of us being active on the social media and you know, digital communication with the customers. So it's growing again, and hopefully the second quarter onwards we should start seeing sales getting back in the domestic market. As regards the soft flooring side of our business, so we are now engaged with not one but at least three seasoned this large size players. We are this at advanced stage of discussions with them, and conversion does take a little time because there's a product development, there's a product approval trial process that you undergo with the client, so it takes a little longer, and this as we are also learning along the way. But the list of clients and the list of large clients is only growing, and you know, as I speak, there are at least three, if not four, large customers that we are very actively engaged with, and hopefully we'll convert with at least a couple of them very soon.
Okay, sir, just a clarification. In domestic business, what I have understood, domestic would be through distributor, and there would be a diversified set of customers because of this distributor network, whereas in export business, we would be concentrated with few clients and will work on a contractual basis. Is my understanding correct on the flooring business, sir?
Yeah, you are absolutely right. That is the intent. So at this juncture, you know, that we want to keep our international business simple. And so we have sales teams, sales marketing and development teams in the major markets already appointed, and it's not new to us. So, you know, we are used to doing that in our home business. And so we brought the same approach here. So that will be our intent. And in the domestic market, it will be door to door through distributors, through dealers, and also through, honestly, through digital means. So, you know, out of this, whatever 8-9 crores of revenue that we did, almost 25% was actually this achieved through digital engagement with the end consumer. So, you know, that also is going to be play a big part in the domestic market.
Right. So in terms of distributor count, sir, what is the development, and at what number we are today versus previous quarter?
So we have added about 15-16 channel partners, not more, this quarter. So we have, let's say, 400 north of 400 active point of sales now. Yeah. And we were up to about you know, this, we are available at about 550-600. But we are now measuring, you know, this active doors, which means, let's say, this, you know, channel partners who are invoicing for us. And, you know, so we are close to the 400 mark. Unfortunately, this quarter, we haven't added much due to the lockdown situation. And also distributors, we are in excess of 75 distributors because, you know, the commercial products, the hospitality products like artificial grass, they all move through, most of it moves through the distribution channel. So we have about 75 distributor partners across all product categories.
Okay, sir. I'll come back in queue for follow-ups. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jigar Shah from Maybank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, and congratulations for a strong performance. My question pertains to the plans to invest substantially in the renewable energy. So, is there any update on that?
So Jigar, I think I'll take this question. You know, we have been working on this and there are a couple of plans that we are still exploring. So I think we'll be able to solidify those in the next quarter. And you can appreciate that being a kind of a very massive operation, it will take that much of time and window. So we are just evaluating a few opportunities here, Jigar.
Okay, okay. Thank you. And can I ask one more follow-up question?
Sure. Sure, Jigar.
Yeah, this is about the flooring unit. So I believe at full capacity it can do a 2,000 crore plus revenue. But
yeah,
when do you expect the utilization to improve? I mean, in the next 2-3 years, will it reach that level? I mean, is there any time frame?
It is going to take, as RRM had pointed out, it's definitely going to take 2-3 years where it's going to reach that peak capacity of around 2,300 or 2,400.
Let me be a little more cautious here. So it's a 3-5 year journey, guys. And, you know, so, you know, but for this COVID situation, we would have, you know, this gotten there a little faster.
Yes.
But it's a 3-5 year journey and, you know, it's a young business. So this, I want to sound a little bit cautious, but I think we have gained enough confidence in the business now to, you know, to stick our neck out and say that, if, you know, this in that time frame, we should be able to get there.
Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chetan Shah from Jeet Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for an opportunity. Just one quick question. This is with reference to, you know, opening remark. Dipali talked about changing the CapEx model for the business, the way things are evolving in a global market and also in the domestic market. So if you can kindly elaborate what exactly you mean by that. Is it mean that we may end up spending some more money trying to be more integrated player, or we'll do some sort of things outsourcing and some within us? If you can give some idea or some elaboration on that, please.
So let me take that, Dipali.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, this is a heads up. So, you know, this clearly with this Xinjiang situation, this integration is at a premium. And the consequence of that is for everyone to see with the yarn spinning margins shooting through the roof, and you know, and that is something that you know, this so A, there is a traceability challenge which our customers are throwing at us, and also on the other hand, let's say there is this you know, this very high delta between cotton and the yarn prices now. So this, we are thinking about it. As I said, this, we are engaged with our customers. We want to be cautious with whatever decisions that we take, but you know, so there is some change in thinking that is happening, and we thought it proper to call this thing out over this call, and I think this will be better prepared to answer this question over hopefully the next quarter call. So there's some thinking going on. You know, we want to go back to our customers, we want to do some more homework, and then arrive at the right solutions and conclusions for the company.
Thank you for this. And just one small follow-up of that. Will we have any internal target in terms of IRR or ROCs as and when we decide in whichever side of the CapEx model so that as an investor stroke shareholders, we know that key capital allocation is more prudent rather than definitely it has to be with a long-term business prospects, but still at the end of the day, the financial return really matters.
Yeah. Look, you know, this it's a fair question, and you know, let me just go back and say that this, the capital expenditure, our IRR goals have always been between 16 and 20. Currently, the business is delivering about 16-17% of return on capital employed, slightly higher on equity. So that has been our guiding principle ever since, and you know, the last let's say this 4 or 5 years, and that is what will continue as our guiding principle going forward as well. And everything that you know, this, and what even now, whatever we are doing, we are keeping that 16-20% goal in our mind as we invest capital. So we are very mindful of that.
Thank you so much, sir. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Gautam from GS Investments.
This is the last question we will take, gentlemen. So,
Sir, this is, I just wanted to know about the sustainability of the current improved margin of the sector. And is it going to be a permanent sort of rating or again sort of a one-off because of the incentives given by government? And what is the moat for us, our company and India in these textile sectors for which we operate in it? Thank you.
So let me say that, if you look at this Wellspun India as a company, you take up any five-year period, and as a company, we have delivered a 20% return on our 20% EBITDA margin, or just around that. You take any five-year period, and you will see that so business has consistently delivered those kinds of margins, and it has weathered exchange rate, it has weathered cotton movements, it has weathered refund of duties, it has weathered drawback. So we have gone through, let's say, this all rain, sun, winter, snow, everything, but over a period of time, our business actually settles down at that range. So, and we believe that our business is good for a 20% in a good year, slightly north of that, in a year where you have headwinds slightly less, like it was last year, and particularly this the last couple of quarters, but over a period of, let's say, two or three quarters, we are able to pass on everything to the clients, and that is the moat of the business. So you ask me a question. So A, this Wellspun India is an innovative company. It is a strategic vendor to almost all the clients, at least the top 10, 12 clients that we work with. And we, let's say this, we own 25 to 33% of their wallet, and Dipali herself sits on various, this consultative panels with a lot of our customers. So this, our approach is 360 degree. This, we look at our business not as selling, let's say, towels and sheets, but we are in the business of improving our customers' business, and if their business improves, our business improves, and that is our moat. And even as a country, this you will appreciate and agree with me that no country can get a 50%, 55%, 45% market share in a country like US if you don't have a moat. So we have a country advantage. This Wellspun India has got a company advantage because of its innovative solutions that it offers in terms of product and the 360 degree solution it gives. And while we are running, let's say, this a product business, but we look at our business as a FMCG business, as a consumer business, with all developments actually made in sight of what the consumer is telling us through the constant researches that we do with the consumer. So I think the moat is fairly well established. So, this, as a company, we have weathered all the storms, as I told you. You take up any five-year period and you will see this margin. So we are business people. We run companies. We have a longer horizon. And, our horizon will always be 10, 20, 30 years. And, sometimes decisions have to be made to protect your future, which might not look this very good in the current stage, and, vice versa. But, we have to look at our business as a long-term thing, because we are around for 20, 30, 40 years, and we will continue to do that so that we are able to maintain the edge that, or in your language, the moat that we have in the market.
And sir, looking into the future part, I believe the scope for re-rating is there due to the U.S. ban on Xinjiang cotton, and Pakistan, we are hearing the news that Pakistan has also been banned due to that 20% additional benefit. Bangladesh,
if you are asking our opinion, this we feel very positive.
Yeah.
And there's stability now. So, you are at a stage where cotton prices are almost at an all-time high. There's the uncertainty around refund of taxes, whether it is ROSTCL or whatever. So, you don't have that uncertainty anymore. So, it's behind us until 2024. So I think, there's, and let's say with all this thing happening around Xinjiang and everything, so, as a company, we feel very confident, and, I think this is a serious opportunity that these companies like us are looking at, and also this as a country, I think we are looking at. So, we believe that this is a decisive opportunity.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Dipali Goyal for closing comments.
So many thanks for joining the call today, and I'd like to share my closing thoughts on the company's performance and our outlook for the future. Our core textiles business continues to enjoy robust growth momentum, driven by a significant uptick in global growing demand across geographies and structural changes in our customer sourcing and supply chain strategies. As envisaged, the emerging businesses portfolio is a strong pillar of growth and is now primed to play a key role in driving business profitability for Welspun India. We have consistently delivered a solid performance, and we continue to be optimistic in our revenue growth and margins despite pandemic-related hiccups. And we are witnessing a transformational growth and are confident of delivering consistent performance quarter on quarter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Edelweiss Securities, that concludes this conference. We thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.